Fantastic Weekend. For those who are not aware, our students, they started this last year. I remember last year one student came to me and wanted to organize a study of one of the books of the Bible and have some students lead it. And I said, that's great. Came back to me the next week, could we use the building? I said, oh, that's fine. And we had 80 students show up last year, 40 from out of town and 40 local, and they studied Friday night and all day Saturday. I saw, wow, that's a wonderful thing to see that kind of zeal and interest. And so it was done again this year. And I think we probably had at times 110 to 120 in the classroom, probably about 140 total as far as people who came and went. Numerous ones from out of town, and many of you are here today. And I want to tell you, that is so encouraging to me to see that kind of faith and initiative that you want to study God's Word. And I will tell you, being in the classes, we have quite a bit of ability and a zeal for the Lord and good knowledge by the young man who led these classes. I know that it has profited us. The closer we can get to God, the more zeal for His Word, we will be blessed. And thank you, all of you who participated in this effort. Remember, next week we've got another feast coming with our meeting, Sunday through Wednesday, with the announcements are in the foyer. But let us work hard to share the gospel with others. This morning I want to talk with you about the hardest command in the Scriptures. A command that is difficult for me, and it's difficult for you, the command to repent. You know, it is easy to give to God that which is a contribution, external, easy. It's easy to wear a mask. It is easy to go through the motions and then to do what we really want to do. You know, we had a little video that I think has been a YouTube thing by someone angry about hypocrisy in the church. It's being forwarded. It has brought some very interesting discussion, and I've enjoyed participating in some of that with you. But the essence of this video was, here was a young man angry about hypocrisy in the church. How do we overcome that? What does Jesus want? What if Jesus had came to the assembly today? What would his sermon be? Well, we can look back when Jesus preached. We read about John the Baptist and Jesus both saying things like this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What's repentance? I enjoy teaching classes in the home, and I sometimes will ask people, what is repentance? Well, somebody will say, well, it's belief. No, it's not belief. It comes from belief, but it's not belief. Well, somebody will say, well, it's feeling bad about sin. You should feel bad about sin, but why do you feel bad about sin? But even if you feel bad about sin because you sinned against God, that's not repentance. Somebody will say, well, it's when you change your life. Well, when you change your life, that's a product of repentance, but it's not repentance. What is repentance? You'll remember this morning. Think of the U-turn signal. You know, here, the one turning. It's a change of the will. That's hard. It is hard for us to be tender-hearted, to open up our hearts and be honest, and it is extraordinarily difficult to finally let go of our will. And I don't preach to you this morning as one who has ever overcome that struggle, because as long as we're in this life, this is our battle. Jesus, when he dealt with the Pharisees, he says, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. It's easy to play church. It's easy to be a hypocrite. There were Pharisees that were baptized,
Some genuinely so became disciples of Christ. Many, they just saw what everybody else was doing. And they followed it. I used to think that the difficulty the world has is in believing in Jesus. But I've come to understand that the real difficulty in conversion is repentance. If Jesus came in this pulpit today, I have no question at all that his message would be repentance, that he would get to our hearts. Jesus, throughout his ministry, let people see who they were. What if your heart was open and who you really are, that you could see it? And Jesus would want you to see that and then turn to him because of his love, because of his grace, because he truly, truly, more so than any man, cares for us and has a plan for us and will do nothing but good for us. But he cannot help us unless we repent. We've got to let our hearts be yielded to him. Look at the message to the churches of Asia in the book of Revelation. Look at the message over and over again. Talks to the church at Ephesus. We said this morning in our Bible class. Church that was discerning, good. They dealt with false teachers. They had good knowledge, but notice where they lacked. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I'll come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Revelation 2:16, repent or else I will come to you quickly. Revelation 2:20, he talks about a church that had been dealt with false teachers in one aspect, but here were those within the church that were immoral. And here was this individual that, even though there was patience and there was kindness, she continued in immorality. Verse 21 says, I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Do you understand? Repentance. A change of will cause a change of conduct. You cannot play the hypocrite. God knows us. And he goes on to say, indeed, I'll cast her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. Revelation 3:3, remember, therefore, have you received and heard, hold fast and repent. Repentance. Be zealous and repent. The church at Laodicea, that word will filled with wealth and the ease, and they thought they needed nothing. Looking at your heart is a huge challenge. But you see, when I see who is opening my heart, the Lord, who loves me, he's not going to throw me away when he sees the evil. Everybody knows it. He wants me to see it. And he says, I can heal you. I can help you. But you have to come, first of all, to see you, and you've got to understand my way is trustworthy. Verse 20, written to Christians. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. How many today in this audience? In your heart of hearts, you push Jesus out. And you go into the motions. And Jesus is knocking on your door and telling you and I to repent. So we don't want to be the hypocrites that we read in the Scripture, and we understand that we must open up our hearts to Jesus. Let me go on one other thing. This is very interesting. It is easy to do things that are outward. You remember when Jesus talked about to the disciples that one of you is going to betray me? Look at what each of the disciples, one by one, when they thought somebody's going to betray Jesus, and it's going to be one of us. Notice the good, honest heart. They turned to Jesus. Is it I? Is it I? Now, there was one of them that had betrayed Jesus, that had taken the money, and had a plan to betray him. But notice what he did. Notice what Judas did. As verse 22 of Matthew 26, everyone was saying, is it I? Then Judas said the same thing. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? He said to him, you have said it. We can play the hypocrite. Repentance. Real simple lesson. You know this lesson. I don't think I'm going to be teaching most of you anything you haven't heard, but if you want to repent, you first have to know God's will. One of my concerns is that I see, like the video on the internet the other day, somebody is raging against hypocrisy and then making suggestions that there's not a written revelation and that there are not a path to follow, what I would call God's law, which from my soul in the video, people talk about God's rules. 1 John 3:4, the Bible says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. 1 John 5:17, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. You never, ever find forgiveness in Scripture without repentance. Old and New Testament. Here was a man who had been baptized into Christ, had become a Christian as a penitent believer, and then he fell back in sin. Now listen, we don't live above sin. We deal with sin. I hope you get that this morning. We as Christians, in the body of Christ, loving God, we will always deal with the issue of sin. Hebrews 12 says it does it so easily beset us. In 1 John 1:9-10, it says, we say we have no sin, we make him a liar, and the truth is not in us. So again, you know, I see your sin and you see my sin. We want to be sure to repent. I'm not shocked that a Christian falls into a sin. Now, here was a man recently baptized, new convert, and he went right back into his temptation of wanting to buy the Holy Spirit with money. What was he told to do? Repent of therefore this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. So please, as we talk about having a heart for God and being zealous for God, understand that God has a standard. And so again, let me tell you a characteristic of somebody who has a penitent heart. If somebody says, brother, would you look at the Word of God on this? You'll do it. You're not going to be afraid to be examined. You know God. You're willing to be led by His Word. Another critical element of repentance is sorrow. Not men seeing us, we're being sorry about that. But sorrow because God sees it. 2 Corinthians 7:10, it says, for godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. You know, sometimes we're only worried about men. Sometimes I remember my old single days. When I lived by myself in my own little apartment, how can I put it? I wasn't as tidy as I might have been if I thought somebody was going to come into my apartment. Somebody might come into my refrigerator and open it up, and they might see something there that's turned to kind of a green jello. Or they might walk into a room and, you know, I remember when I was as a single guy, I was like a lot of guys, you know, I just kind of, if nobody's going to see it, well, I don't care. Well, you know, when it comes to what people see, I understand that's not so important. But, you know, some people do that with sin. They don't want to be around Christians in their social time because they want to do some things that Christians don't do, and they hope to go to places that Christians don't see them. And if Christians see them, all of a sudden they act regretful. Listen to me. I love my brethren. But if I can hide from my brethren and hide from others, I don't hide things from God. I've got to have a focus on Him. Satan would rather you have worldly sorrow. Some people are sorry they're caught. They'll try to hide. Now they're caught. Oh, this is terrible. You know, but are they really sorry before God? I hope they are. I try not to judge people's motives in these things. But you see, worldly sorrow is oftentimes focused upon consequences, upon people, and it's not focused upon God. Psalms 51 is a passage we're going to cover over and over again this morning. David had committed the sin of adultery, and then he committed the sin of murder. A man that was one of his closest friends in Uriah, one of his mighty men. And he turned. He hid this sin for a year. And then he turned to God. He says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions. And my sin is always before you. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge it. You can learn nothing else from this lesson than this. God sees and knows and will forgive. And please, don't play games with Him. Understand His love. Understand His nature. He tells us over and over again, I'm in the forgiving business. But we've got to yield to Him. We've got to get to the point where we will say, no more excuses, no more games. Repentance is always directed toward our God. A man who does this doesn't worry about what men see or don't see. They're going to turn to the Lord. In Matthew 21, I'll just note the reference here. There was two brothers. One said he would go and work, and he didn't. One said he wouldn't go, and he did. And Jesus basically asked this question after he told the parable, verse 31, which did the will of his father? If you want to see a barometer of repentance, I'm not telling you that you're going to be perfect. I'm not telling you that you don't have problems that may come back, that is a regular problem that you struggle with. But I will guarantee you over time, you're going to see your life change. You're going to see your love for the Lord grow. You're going to find a greater peace with God. You're going to find a greater zeal for God. You're going to find, as you learn to live a life of repentance, a tender, loving heart to be developed. It's interesting. Notice how Jesus was talking really to the religious leaders, the leaders who knew so much Scripture, the leaders who were so respected. Notice, read the whole context. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. Don't develop a religion where you play games and you hide your heart and you put on the mask and you get it done and you fool people and you get the attention that you want. You're destroying your heart when you do that. You don't stand still in areas like this. You see, the beautiful thing about repentance is that I can be honest. No more lies. I love continue reading Psalms 51. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you make me know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. I am forgiven. I can be honest. I hate it when in one service to God comes to be a negotiation. I was looking the other day about a congregation that tried to resolve one of its religious differences by negotiation. They didn't study the question out and resolve it. They just tried to negotiate and brought people together that really didn't have a heart to really yield to what God said. There's going to be terrible consequences down the line of that congregation. The only way we're going to resolve questions is first come to God and completely and utterly surrender. I don't care what others think. I don't care what the consequences are. I'm not going to make any more excuses. I simply want to know, Lord, your path. I let my pride go. And you see, when that happens, notice there's fruit that follows. That's why he talked to the Pharisees. He told them, root of vipers, guys. You know when repentance is in your life because you're going to be seeing a progression, a change. You're going to give up things that everybody says, don't give that up. When Paul repented, he gave up the religious affiliations that he had as a Pharisee. Philippians 3, he says, those things that I once, you know, he thought was great, he had it lost for the knowledge of Christ. Repentance will involve restitution. If you stole something, you'll give it back. Repentance will involve confession. If you hurt somebody, you'll give it back. Repentance will always cause you, most of all, to constantly be saying, Lord, here I am, cleanse me. What are your conditions of forgiveness? I want to receive that free gift. And that's, in essence, what I did. Years ago, when I came to know who my Lord was, when I came to see my sin, I simply said, Lord, I simply want you to take my life. I don't deserve your forgiveness. And like those on the day of Pentecost, Peter gave the conditions, men responded. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I want to move a little quicker through the outline for the remaining section and just talk briefly about some things about repentance. You know, one of the mistakes that I think we make sometimes is that we want to get people into the waters of baptism before they repent. And I worry about that sometimes. Sometimes I think young people see somebody being baptized and they're kind of thinking that, well, yeah, I want to be baptized, but there's no real consideration of faith in Jesus and the death of Jesus and their own sin. I want to tell you, baptism by itself is simply an act that has no meaning without faith and repentance. It has no meaning without the blood of Christ. It has no meaning unless one has truly yielded their life to God. I'm not interested in initiating somebody into a human denomination. But I do want people to be baptized in Christ. I do want people to find that repentance that results in a life that's filled with praises to God. There are things that block repentance. Folks, the biggest problem we have is our pride. I don't want to be in our problem. I've been raised in the church. I cannot tell you how many people I've seen. Well, my parents will think this. My parents will think this. I'll hurt them. Well, I'll hurt my friends. Well, I've got a reputation to protect. Satan loves for you to be religious and have your eyes closed. Proverbs 12 and verse 15, the Bible says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Our heart, we don't want to see the bad news about us. We'd rather not even see our shortcomings. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. And so one of the first things, again, as we're here this morning, in the feeble efforts your speaker's making, I ask of you, because the Lord asks of you, ask the question, Lord, as I desire to see clearly and honestly. If you see clearly, the Lord sees it, and then you can do something about it. The Laodiceans, who thought they needed nothing, the Lord says that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He told them what you needed to do. You need to get your eyes open. God will help us. Every day we need to look at honestly who Jesus is, how he walked, how he thought, how he talked, how he worked with others, his love, his service. And I look at the perfection of Jesus every time I'm brought into that perfection. I see my shortcomings. And this is not somehow some sense of bondage or I'm constantly in guilt. Where I'm constantly fearing God in the sense of dreading him. No, what this is to say, Lord, I know that you will forgive me. I know that you're molding me. I know that you love me. There's assurance. There's joy in the penitent heart. It's not beating myself up in that sense, but it's simply seeing the path God has for me. And because of his love, I am motivated to let him change me. When David was rebuked of his sin, he made no excuses. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And then Nathan said to David, the Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die. See, when a person finds repentance, they find joy. There's something about totally surrendering and understanding the power of living faith. You know, if you're not there, you're miserable, aren't you? If you're playing games and you've got the mask, you've got one hand in the world and one with God, you are miserable. And you're constantly afraid of who's going to find out what I'm doing. God wants you to be joyful, filled with optimism, confidence in your stand before him. You know, years ago, I'll never forget the movie, The Passion of Christ.
And I heard a story about someone who went to see that movie, which actually is simply a depiction of the crucifixion of Jesus. And there was a man that saw that movie, and he had committed murder and gotten away with it. No one was going to know. No one would know. But he saw the movie. He saw the death of Jesus. He was moved by that, and he wanted to be right with God. And you know what he did? He confessed that murder. And he was convicted for that murder. And today he is in jail for that murder. Was he wrong in doing that? No. When he saw the love of God, and when he saw what Jesus went through to save you and I from a hell, that love moved him, and he says, I'm going to live my life for God, and I've got to be honest. I've just got to be honest. I don't want to play games. I appreciate that example. You remember when David was called to repentance by Nathan? He had to see some terrible things. He had tried to run from who he was. And it took Nathan to open up his heart. In verse 7 it says that Nathan said to David, you are the man. And then we see the consequences that follow, the consequences of how the sword would never depart from his house. But even though there were earthly consequences, David finally, even those consequences, finally had a new and clean heart before God. That is more important than anything. Any relationship, any possession, any reputation, having a clean and honest heart before God is the greatest possible blessing you can have on this life, because you're right with God, you have eternity, you have the presence of God, you have the provisions of God. Even those consequences were there, David made no excuse and simply accepted God's work in his life. Folks, that's hard. I've oftentimes thought, I'm an evangelist. And as an evangelist, I recognize that a large portion of my ability to teach is going to come by my reputation. But I must never, ever let my reputation be the driving force of the things that I do. Larry Rouse needs to see his sins and needs to openly confess his sins and make no excuse for his sins. If I ever get to the point where I'm more worried about my brethren think than what God thinks, I'm lost. I may not always preach, but I want to be right with God and have a relationship with Him. You see, you must not focus upon the earthly consequences of repentance. Jesus talked about that. You see, the more we give, the total commitment that we make makes us happy. That's the full and abundant life where now we're just not going to worry about these temporary things. Jesus put it this way, and he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. But whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall save it. So again, understand the nature of repentance. It could give you a new way of life. Again, I'm going to let you read these verses for your own reading. But we understand that repentance is that total change that results in a relationship with God and forgiveness of sins. So last section. Let's test ourselves. Am I playing a game, or am I here because of a heart of repentance where I'm constantly confessing, constantly yielding, constantly walking, filled with joy? You know, one of the things, I think a great test for me is how do I view and treat other people? If you start playing the game of false repentance, then you start developing some bad attitudes toward others. You know, it's a very sad thing that the Pharisees, with all the knowledge they had, that they completely isolated themselves from the God they claimed to serve.
some of the most hateful, harsh people can be raised in a religious environment. I could go back to that video that was people were talking about yesterday. That's one common thing people saw, that here was a young man responding to terrible hypocrisy within the church. And yes, it does exist. Luke 18:9. He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. If we suddenly find I am the center of my life, it is me and mine, and I don't think about others. If I maybe think of myself this way, I've got a certain set of rules and I've got it together, and look at these people who don't have it together. Well, something's wrong. If you are starting to catch in your life wrong attitudes toward others, could I suggest to you humbly that you may be in long need of repentance? There's something about seeing my sin that makes me merciful to others as they battle their sin. Folks, we're not perfect. I'm not preaching a lesson of perfection. I'm preaching a lesson of a tender heart that can be molded by God. I'm trying to teach, and what the Lord teaches here is simply a basic honesty, and you are unwilling to stay in the path that is contrary to God's will. Some of the toughest, difficult people that I have faced in my experience in the church have been those that thought themselves as real strong pillars within the church. They had terrible attitudes toward others. When you see people in their sin, I don't want to encourage them in sin. But at the same time, I want to, with mercy, to try to help them. That's what our Lord did. Matthew 9:10, one of the reasons he was crucified is he was willing to go out there and help those that needed help. Now, it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came down and sat with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" He pointed out to them, he wanted to heal them. They needed Jesus too, but they didn't recognize that they were blind. Filled with Bible knowledge and blind. I see Christians today, and this worries me. I can do this. I catch myself doing this all the time. I see somebody socially awkward. Sometimes I kind of, I'm just going to kind of put myself at a little distance to these people. I see somebody that doesn't fit in as well, and I kind of, okay, well, yeah, something's wrong with them. Be warmed and filled. I hope you do well. You know, that's not the attitude of a Christian. We're the people that we don't excuse them in their sin, we don't encourage them in their sin, but we want to get there. Brother, I want to help you if I can. Let me help you. I understand. I have my struggles. I understand. Is that us? Do we really care if the world is going to hell? Do we really care to look out amongst the struggles amongst our brothers and sisters and let us be a voice there to say, yes, I see what you're doing, and I'm going to help you. I am here for you. Or would we rather just build our little wall and go on down the path and be happy? 1 Corinthians 12:20. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, and these will bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Are we? Anybody asleep? If I could just program that at the right time, maybe this was. Okay. All right. Okay, all right. We love our new sound system. Sometimes we're still working some of the tweaks out here. Okay. If you didn't get the point, we need to have the same care for one another. another thing, again, just briefly, you know, a person who loves God, a person who's into repentance, they're not afraid to be tested. You know, that's one of the things that worries me sometimes, is that sometimes people, they get this idea of there shouldn't be any rules in the church. I love Jesus, but I hate religion, and religion's rules don't give me rules. And people start, you know, even try to talk to them about standards. Pharisees were like that. There was a man that Jesus healed that was born blind, and the Pharisees couldn't answer it. Basically, the blind man said, look, since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. That's an unanswerable argument. Notice what they did. Rather than answer the argument, they answered and said to him, you are completely born in sins, and you are teaching us. Ever dealt with people unteachable? We better not be us. Don't let some little tool like, there's a hypocrite in church, so you can't tell me. Church has hypocrites, so don't teach me. Well, come on. You don't let hypocrites come between you and God. We need to understand teaching that leads to repentance. Slash one. And this is the one that, here we go, right here. Have I found repentance in my life? Let me tell you how I know you have. Joy. There's something about a clear conscience. There's something about making a total commitment. There's something about letting your joy be based upon your relationship with God and not what others think. There's something about emptying yourselves and filling yourselves with the life of Christ and following His steps. There's a joy in that you will see in others. I like how David put it. And the lesson will be yours after this reading. In Psalms 51, verse 13. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. I want to teach others why I've been forgiven. I want to praise God. Why? Look at what He has done for me. I did not deserve it. The grace of God ought to be our motivating factor in doing everything that we do. I've said it many times and I'll keep saying it. We as Christians ought to be the most optimistic, energetic people on this earth. And you know how you got there? You had the painful process of having your heart open, seeing your sin, and then letting God heal you. It hurts me to see Christians where I think sometimes, having a little experience, I think I see people sometimes, they make appearances in services like this because they don't want to get flack from home. There are times, parents, and I'm not saying we have any today like this, I'm not saying that, but sometimes when parents show up, maybe once or twice a semester, guess who comes to service for the only time that we see them. That's not the way to live. I am so glad that I serve a Savior who, in spite of my shortcomings, loved me and gave Himself for me. I hope this has been understandable. Because ultimately in life, we oftentimes think that God's way is harder when it's not. Those of you who have found that repentance, you understand what I mean. You think, wow, man, I was holding back because I was worried what my dad thought or my mother thought. Or I was worried about what my girlfriend thought. Or I was worried about, you know, what people at work may think. You're going to find that when you take the step of yielding to God in repentance, He's going to open some doors, and He's going to use you, and He will never, ever, ever, ever forsake you. And that's the point of Hebrews 13:5-6.
Our God says, if we'll yield Him, He will never leave us or forsake us. Are there those today who have never yielded to Christ? I know there's all kinds of debate in the denominational world and other things about how does one become a Christian? And I oftentimes told people, I said, you know, if you get somebody to repent, I don't think the Scriptures are going to be that hard to understand. Acts 2:38, we read that earlier. Those that repented, they were baptized immediately. Not trying to earn salvation, not trying to somehow add to the blood, work of the blood of Christ. I simply, you know, when I was baptized, I received the free gift. I looked through the Scriptures. I see people were baptized the same day, baptized the same hour of the night. I'm baptized in the denomination. But as a product of repentance, they yielded the Lord in His death, burial, and resurrection. Christian, are you going to answer the knock? If you do, you ask God for forgiveness. You pray for help. We can assist you publicly, privately, any way we can. Let's leave here today filled with the forgiveness and zeal that comes from a heart that is holy, been turned to God. We can assist you in any way. Would you come as we stand, sir?